Forward. The mind is the brain. Scientific materialism consensus. What certainty can there be in a philosophy which consists in as many hypotheses as there are phenomena to be explained? To explain all nature is too difficult a task for any one man, or even for any one age. 'Tis much better to do a little with certainty, and leave the rest for others that come after you, than to explain all things by conjecture without making sure of anything. Sir Isaac Newton. Bernardo Kastrup has articulated a much-needed corrective to the metaphysical illness of our age, scientific materialism. Scientism is the belief that science is the most valuable part of human learning because it supposedly is the most authoritative or serious or beneficial. But science itself is merely a particular method for dousing the tools at hand to propose hypotheses, do experiments, and come to conclusions based on the information derived. As such, it is regrettable that some practitioners of science, and even some philosophers of science, have now taken on the attitude that scientism is the only valid approach to human knowledge. The idea that science, and science alone, exhausts the human potential has grown into a boy too big for his britches. Behind this monstrous presumption is the highly metaphysical view of materialism. One should make no mistake here. Metaphysical beliefs distort science, for any kind of metaphysics is, in and of itself, contradictory to science's own purposes as an open-ended search for truth. That does not mean a scientist cannot have a metaphysical view, but this view cannot impinge on the interpretation of observations. Scientism today is doing what the church did in the 15th century, forcing theory to fit a predetermined metaphysics. In the pursuit of an external truth, scientific materialism has forgotten the internal, most fundamental reality of human existence. We can know nothing but that which appears in our own mind. Our mind is our reality, and when we attempt to reify either the subject or the object, we chase our own tail at light speed. The ontological vertigo produced by this exercise has extended to the point where materialist philosophers such as Daniel Dennett, Owen Flanagan, and Patricia and Paul Churchland tell us that consciousness itself does not exist. And as if this were not enough, they utter this pronouncement with the smugness and self-assuredness of a Pat Robertson or Jerry Falwell. How can any one of us take seriously someone who stands up and pronounces that his or her own mind does not exist? Truly, this is a koan worthy of a Zen patriarch. It is, in fact, the very opposite of not only Buddhist thinking, but also common sense. And not a common sense based merely on the obvious, but on the most primal reality of the human condition. 2,500 years ago, philosophers in India and Greece struggled with articulating the nature of mind and reality. Over the millennia, there have been many approaches to this articulation by many schools of Buddhism, but none of them became so confused as to assert that mind itself does not exist or is not primary. Many people who learn of Zen and the teachings of Nagarjuna stumble over the words of the Heart Sutra. Form is emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. They believe erroneously that this is a sort of nihilistic formula, when it is quite the opposite. Form, matter, and emptiness, mind, interpenetrate each other as one single reality, like water and sea. This is a monist expression par excellence, and it flows from the depth of the experiences of meditation and mindfulness before it is ever articulated into words. Zen teachers use every weapon in our arsenal to force the student to confront this reality him or herself and not to hide in the words of dualistic thinking. The horse does not ride you. You ride the horse. To quote Bernardo, there are external regions of the medium of mind, in the sense that there are regions that you do not identify yourself with. But this does not entail that there is an abstract shadow universe outside mind. It does not entail an inflationary doubling of reality. He goes on to say, this way, unlike what materialism entails, a neural process isn't the subjective experience it correlates with, but merely a partial image of it. In many ways, this echoes the Zen perspective. In the words of Zen master Soyin Shaku, as translated by Nyogen Senzaki, make a thorough analysis of yourself. Realize that your body is not your body. It is part of the whole body of sentient beings. Your mind is not solely your mind. It is but a constituent of all mind. Bernardo takes us on a journey to an alternative worldview, one that makes a great deal more sense than the scientistic one we are being spoon-fed through academia and the media. He expresses his ideas lucidly and constructively, in a manner that does not lose their scientific and logical force. The truly ironic thing is that, in attacking the pretenses of scientistic materialism, Bernardo grounds himself in the latest and deepest understanding produced by science, one that scientistic materialism refuses to accept philosophically. I challenge you to read Bernardo Kastrup's Prescription for What Metaphysically Ails You. You will be a wiser being for it. Shogaku Senshin Stephen Eckert Musgrave Roshi, Director of the Zen Institute of San Diego, California, author of Zen Buddhism, Its Practice and the Transcendental Mind.